Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A final hour of the program. We had Greg Bedard, the big boy of Boston Sports Journal, his regular Tuesday stint. Again, catch that one on the app or the website if you want to replay it. What are your big takeaways from Bedard? To me, I'll start. The one is I'm most interested, and I don't even know it's the most important thing. Maybe their defense is the most important thing, but it's not as fun to talk about. To me, I'm most interested in Cam Newton continuing that. And if a team won't let him run, how does he do in the passing game, and what does their passing game really look like? Because I think I'd like to think that Pete Carroll is smart enough not to let Cam Newton gain the edge and run around the way he did in week one. We're going to take away Cam Newton. Okay, so you can't run with Cam Newton. And then secondarily, I disrupt Julian Edelman. And now I would say, do you have enough in the passing game to keep up with Russell Wilson? And, you know, we'll give it to you if you can take it. And then that's what I want to see. Can Cam Newton operate in a passing game if the team takes away his run?
Yeah, look, whether they can throw is the biggest question on the team.
And, oh, I'll just say, Bedard says that Seattle is more likely to do that. They play zone, first of all, so the players are facing the quarterback, harder to rip off big runs as a quarterback against a zone defense, which is what Seattle always plays. And they're real quick up front, so they should be able to catch Cam Newton. And I'd like to think that Pete game plans at least just a little. I know that's not a big strength of his, but at least, you know, acknowledge what's going there and maybe put it in the box, Murray. You know, flood the box a little bit. Jamal Adams, their safety from the Jets, one of the best tackling safeties in the league. Great box safety. Bring him up. Take away that the Cam Newton run stuff. Make them throw, and let's see what you got. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, look, again, whether the Patriots can pass to me is the biggest question about the team. It was in the preseason. It is now. Week two. It will be all year long. I thought Greg made one interesting point about the performance of the defense, which I think is huge, because I question whether they lost Hightower especially, but also Chung, and when those guys opted out, in addition to all the other losses they had, whether or not they'd be able to stop other teams and get the ball. And this week they did. Against Miami, they did. If that's gone, forget it. You're screwed. So now you're facing a Seattle team that's got more weapons, a good quarterback. Like, they're both going to get tested. I want to see it on that side of the ball, too.
Well, a quarterback that can get out of the tackle box and freelance, too. And Russell Wilson's he's nasty even when he does stand in the pocket. But the one takeaway I remember that I liked is that he, after watching the All-22 tape, found that the pass rush wasn't as bad as the stat sheet said. With one sack, there was actually some pressure. I think his number one player on the top three players of the week there was Chase Winovich. So they're going to need some sort of pass rush to keep Russell Wilson in check on Sunday night. So maybe it was better than what it looked like, because I was concerned about that one thing on that side of the ball after that game.
I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick threw three picks. Russell Wilson had four incompletions. He was 31 of 35 with four touchdowns.
They got to disrupt him.
And so, you know, I got to believe that Bill's going to want to try to keep him in the pocket. I don't think you want Russell Wilson rolling out and making plays on the run. He can beat you from the pocket, though, too. So I don't know which poison you pick there. But I think you take the structure over the breakdowns, especially with some new pieces on defense. You'd rather keep them in the pocket, I think.
Okay. Along those lines of the Patriots passing game, is N'Keal Harry down on N'Keal Harry like everybody else is?
Yep, with good reason.
Like, at what point does a small B bust become capital B bust?
Probably by the end of the year.
Week eight?
Well, you got to give it some time, right? I mean, it's but because it is, at the end of the day, it is his second year.
But what's the ceiling? Like, what?
Well, this is why I said, here's what I've settled on. I said this yesterday. I've come to the conclusion he'll never justify that first round pick.
I mean, I just look at it. I mean, he ran a couple slants, right? Screen that, again, he kind of pushed out on.
do I really see him run routes down the field?
No.
You know, quick slants, quick hitch, you know, but, you know, get his back to the defender and box him out a little bit or the screen. But do I see him get into the second level and make a move on someone and get open?
No. No, is there anything there that happens that warrants a first-round pick? Like, typically with that kind of player, you're talking for, you want an impact guy.
Size-speed combination. But if he doesn't run routes, what's really there?
Fundamentally sound. Like, Deion Branch is one of the all-time best Patriot receivers because he just, you know, you knew he wasn't going to screw anything up.
He could get open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure this guy can get open.
He can't run routes. He's just kind of like a lumbering dope at times. Like, it doesn't look like he knows what the hell he's doing.
Well, I don't see it.
I mean, Greg brought up that screen where he let the little guy bring him down.
Oh, my God. I don't want to say it was worse than the fumble because one's a turnover. But it was the first play of the game. They ran this little swing screen to him. He caught the ball. And the whole point of it is get him the ball in space, let him get ahead of steam. That's the whole point of the play. And some little guy runs up and hits him and he falls down. I saw that one. You got to be kidding me. Like, what? If that's what's going to happen, forget it. I'm not running the end around with you anymore. I'm not doing that either.
You've got nothing.
Zero. If you can't overpower a guy who's smaller than you, you're useless. Useless. That play should offend people more than anything. That was absolutely embarrassing to see him getting taken down like that by that guy. Oh, that was off. That play was awful.
Okay, and just one more thing again from the big boy. We play the sound, but why? We'll just recap it and put words in his mouth. Make it more interesting. You're going to have to hear a bunch of hemming and hawing and pauses and lip smacking and all of that.
And chewing.
Yeah, he did. I think his interesting point about Arians and Brady, like, he can already feel they're headed for a butting of heads if they're not already there. I mean, Arians has wasted no time calling Brady out for those plays the other day to the point where, you know, the big boy said he was stunned that Arians even put that first interception on Brady, which he did, which, at the time, I'm like, okay, I'll take your word for it, but it was pretty clear that Mike Evans stopped his route and, you know, they at least weren't on the same page so they could share it. But no, after the game, Arians immediately came out and said, no, Mike had the right read. That was on Brady. Like, wow. And then yesterday he's back at it saying, well, Brady didn't look like that during the week. You know, I assume he'll come back this week with more grit and determination than last week. What was the other one that the WAP? I mean, he's called him out. And as Bedard said, Arians is not going to take the fall. He's not going to take the fall if things don't work out, and he's already putting it on Brady.
I mean, this guy, the more I hear him, Arians, what a boob. Like, shut up. What do you do? First of all, go right back to the offseason. Well, who's out on the mark? Tom Brady. So he's pumping Brady's tires right out of the gate. We want Tom Brady. Now, one game in, he's throwing Brady under the bus.
Goes to show you there's a lot of pressure down there.
Oh, this guy's a media darling is what he is. No wonder the media loves him so much because he talks to him and tells him everything. This is why they love him.
He's good in the interview. Like, he tells it like it is or like he thinks it is. So,
well, right.
I appreciate that, but I don't know. In that position, I'm not sure you should be doing that.
Especially when your ownership and management just spend $50 million on a quarterback.
Week one, game one. Tom Brady doesn't go so well. He's calling him out left, right, and center. What's the one we played earlier, Billy?
You know, he's had it before. I mean, he knows how to bounce back, and he knew he didn't play very well, and it's not what he expects from himself, nor do we expect. So yeah, I would anticipate him to have a little more grit and a little more determination this week.
He knows he didn't play very well. Not what he expects, not what we expect. Like, that was quick. That was quick. Meanwhile, you know, I don't know. Are you blaming Brady or Arians? I'm blaming Arians. Arians has been there for a year plus, and the team has done nothing but turn the ball over, commit penalties, and what's the third thing? Penalties, turnovers, and sacks. Penalties, turnovers, and sacks. So whether it's Winston or Brady, it's looked like the same thing. Is that on Brady or is that on the coach?
They've thrown, their quarterbacks have now thrown, 32, 33 interceptions over the last 17 games?
Did you ever think your receivers are running the wrong way? Or, I don't know, you're just not coaching a certain way to get them on the same page? That ever occur to you?
Wow.
Or your scheme does not put your offensive line in the best position to keep the quarterbacks clean, especially when you got two guys, Winston included, who don't move particularly well. Winston's more of a stationary guy himself. It's like, but already,
given that guy's history, I just don't know if it's going to get better. And that's what, you know, if you're Brady, you've got to be a little bit shook.
So already Arians not taking any responsibility, in one respect, you sort of respect that he's not afraid to throw it at Brady's feet. But on the other, you say, is that really,
Well, who are you? What have you accomplished, you know?
Is this really what you should be doing? But either way, it's already come to a head with Brady and Arians. And, I mean, it's got to get better than that. But if it doesn't, we're going to have a few fireworks down there, I think.
Oh, definitely. They have too much invested in this season for it to just roll off everybody's back.
I mean, give me whichever one about the interception, Jimmy. I'm sorry, Billy. Billy Lanny's back there today. You know, some coaches would say, well, we got to coach it better. We just sort of be in generalities. Oh, no. Bruce Arians tells you exactly what happened on that play.
It speaks for itself. You know, if you're throwing an out route, you don't throw it low and inside. And that hasn't been the case up until that one. You know, it was a little bit late on it and probably a better decision to go somewhere else with the ball.
It's just surprised it hasn't taken him any time at all to start doing that to Brady.
I mean, I was just looking up some of the numbers since the start of last year. Tampa's thrown the most interceptions in the league by 10. By 10. Baker Mayfield, as bad as he has sucked, has thrown 10 fewer interceptions the Browns have than the Bucs have. In terms of sacks, they've allowed the 11th most. Quarterback rating, Tampa is 25th in the league with allegedly an offensive mastermind as their head coach. Like, at some point, you do have to start to look at the coach and say, what system are you running? What are you doing down there? And listen, I have no sympathy for Brady because he picked it. Okay, you picked Tampa Bay. So you can go suck on a lemon as far as I'm concerned. See, go suck on a grapefruit. Like, real? What are you thinking picking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? That's a clown show.
Yeah, so I think people in turn, we were like ripping Brady, or I was ripping Brady yesterday. I mean, he didn't play well. That's self-evident. But my main criticism is the program down there and the team down there and the way it's coached and the way that they play. Yeah, not even Brady. At least week one was enough to change it because that was the same Tampa team you saw last year. Okay, so there's the football reset. Mix that in with all of our Celtics calls and conversation. Right back to you after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
What's up? This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A final hour of the program. We had Greg Bedard, the big boy, Boston Sports Journal's regular Tuesday stint. Again, catch that one on the app or the website if you want to replay it. What are your big takeaways from Bedard? To me, I'll start. The one is I'm most interested, and I don't even know it's the most important thing. Maybe their defense is the most important thing, but it's not as fun to talk about. To me, I'm most interested in Cam Newton continuing that. And if a team won't let him run, how does he do in the passing game, and what does their passing game really look like? Because I think I'd like to think that Pete Carroll is smart enough not to let Cam Newton gain the edge and run around the way he did in week one. We're going to take away Cam Newton. Okay, so you can't run with Cam Newton. And then secondarily, I'd disrupt Julian Edelman. And now I would say, do you have enough in the passing game to keep up with Russell Wilson? And, you know, we'll give it to you if you can take it. And then that's what I want to see. Can Cam Newton operate in a passing game if the team takes away his run?
Yeah, look, whether they can throw is the biggest question on the team.
And, oh, I'll just say, Bedard says that Seattle is more likely to do that. They play zone, first of all, so the players are facing the quarterback, harder to rip off big runs as a quarterback against a zone defense, which is what Seattle always plays. And they're real quick up front, so they should be able to catch Cam Newton. And I'd like to think that Pete game plans at least just a little,
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And the wrench. And the towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felga, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just think this, if you can neutralize Butler and make him shoot inefficiently and just have him not have the impact on the games that he had against Milwaukee, there's not a lot of guys that you have to be so concerned with. I mean, they can shoot the three with Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and Goran Dragic and a bunch of guys. But if you can, you know, force Butler into a tough series, that's the key to beating them. And I think the Celtics are almost uniquely equipped to defend a team that's led by Jimmy Butler.
Okay, Maz has the Heat. Maz has Jimmy Butler as the best player in the series. Your thoughts on that? That's, again, that's Chris Mannix on that take. Trevor and Medway, go ahead on the Celts. You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, Trevor.
What's up, lads? I'm not so sure that Jimmy Butler's the best player in the series. I don't even think he'd be our third option on the Celtics. I've got Tatum, Kemba, and he's right there with Jaylen Brown as our third option. He's a glorified Marcus Smart without acne. That's all.
Okay.
I mean, that's except just being silly.
Except he's bigger. And he shoots a little better, but not much.
Yeah, he's 6'7".
It's a fair comp. I don't think it's unreasonable to say that he's a better version of Marcus Smart. I think that's what he is, and slightly better. Like, I think those two match. I think Butler's got a little size on him.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm more inclined to compare him to Brown because I think that they're similar body size. You know, Butler's stronger, but Brown's young, so he'll fill out some too. But even so, the caller can believe whatever he wants. He wouldn't be the third scorer. He wouldn't be the third best player on the Celtics.
That's just silly.
I mean, let's just not get stupid about it.
He'd be the second.
By the way, I don't think Jimmy Butler's a superstar. I don't. I've always sort of been borderline on Butler. He's a good player, but he's playing great down there right now.
He's not a superstar, but he is inspired right now. And I don't think other than Tatum, you don't have a superstar either.
Yeah, I was going to say, right now they don't. I don't know that I would call Tatum a superstar yet. He's a budding superstar, but I don't, he's a superstar in the making, but I don't think he's there yet.
Scott in the car has been waiting patiently on a football topic we did before. Thanks for hanging on, Scott. We asked, what was the best move, offseason move, made in the NFL in the offseason? Scott, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
Yeah, you got it, Mike. So much like Belichick drafting Jimmy G in 2014, I think the best move this offseason, you said it before, was the Packers drafting Jordan Love. Because holy crap, did I have a sharp cheddar cheese log in my shorts watching that game. But Rodgers isn't refocused and reinvigorated without that draft pick.
Okay, Scott, your phone blows, but you hung on, so thank you. And thank you for giving me that. Ooh, was Rodgers good on Sunday?
He was. He looked dynamite.
I only saw highlights, but everything looked like a dart.
Oh, he was toying with them. I haven't seen him. I don't think he's played like that in a couple of years, honestly. And I've watched almost all their games, and I've been down on him the last couple of years. Ooh, he looked good. So that drafting of Jordan Love, I loved it. I loved it the day they did it.
It's a good point.
I loved it the day that they did it. And wouldn't you know, maybe they woke up the a-hole. They woke up the DB in the starter's chair. Also, I'll give this. That was a COVID game, too. In other words, I've never seen the Packers or any Packer quarterback look so comfortable indoors in Minnesota. Usually, far from
there. He used to be terrible there. The guaranteed loss.
Crap your pants and, like, the whole thing. Like, there's a long history of Packer quarterbacks, as good as they are, Favre, Rodgers going there and just crapping their pants. Can't get the snap off. Pass rush gets in their face because you can't hear the snap and, like, just disaster. And, boy, were they comfortable there without any fans. That was a COVID game. Thank you for COVID for that game if you're a Packer fan. I'd also just say, parenthetically, while we're on it, the Celtics should thank the COVID, too. That, you know, both these teams, I heard Murray talking about this on the weekend. This is the first time in history, I think, or since 1950, whatever, that the first and second seed in a conference didn't make the conference final. So not the one or the two made the Eastern Conference final. And the last time that happened was like never. Or 1950, whatever.
Well, in this league, it's always Chuck. We know that, you know. So that's why that just shows you right there. Like this is unique.
It's a little asterisky, but that's okay. We were still invested. It's still a championship. You still get to hang a banner. But you know, don't tell me things aren't different.
Oh, they're totally. Listen, the home road thing in that league is more than any other.
When's the last time the 3 and the 5? That's what this is, right? The 3 and the 5 faced off in a conference final in the NBA. It's back when you were winning titles against Dolph, the 6'3" center from the Quad City areas in Iowa, wearing belts and knee pads.
Syracuse Nationals.
Seriously. The 3 and the 5. You don't think it's different down there? The 3 and the 5 are in the conference final. Thank your lucky stars. And, oh, by the way, NFL teams get to go to places like Minnesota, Denver last night, and Seattle coming up this Sunday night, and it doesn't matter. Like, that's a huge difference. It should be.
Oh, my gosh. Like, and I was looking it up just out of curiosity because I thought the home teams did better in the league than they really did this past week. They went 8-8.
It's 8-8.
8-8. So, you know, it feels like it's a coin flip now in all these stadiums.
Dean in Shrewsbury on the Celts. Hi, Dean.
Hi. I think Jaylen Brown is a better player than Jimmy Butler, even though he struggled this playoffs. One thing he's shown this playoffs is that his one-on-one defense is absolutely elite. It's just gone to another level in the bubble, and I really think he's going to be able to shut down Jimmy Butler in this series.
Okay, so I mean, I think you can defend Jimmy Butler. I don't think you can. That's not. I'm not hinging if the Heat win. It's not going to be singularly because of Jimmy Butler. I mean, you can. He's Jimmy Butler's not an elite offensive player, so Jaylen Brown should do well against him. But I, you know, if you think Jaylen Brown's already better than Jimmy Butler, I'd want to know what you would base that on.
Yeah, it's
no,
too
Butler's
early.
Butler's a much better playmaker right now, and that came with experience. It took him a little while, but right now he's a better offensive player than Jaylen Brown.
I mean, Murray's right. That's the biggest difference between the two. Brown doesn't facilitate at all. I mean, he gets the ball and it goes up. Or he goes to the basket.
I'm curious, Mike. So you just watched this team clean up on your Bucks. I'm surprised you don't talk more about Adebayo, because that's the guy that I'm actually really afraid
of. He killed the Celtics in the game. The regular.
Oh, yeah, the bubble game. Yeah,
the bubble game. I was going to say the regular season game they played up there.
You know who I think he is? I think he's Siakam. Like, he's that kind of guy.
Sure.
Different, though. He doesn't shoot from the perimeter.
This is what I mean, though. I'm not telling you, like, he's exactly like him. I'm telling you, like, he doesn't really have a refined offensive game. I don't know if he has a game. Like,
but he frustrated and limited Giannis in that so much, like defensively.
Oh, no. Good defensively, good rim protection, like athletic, that sort of thing. But
he's a better Tice.
Well, he's a smaller Tice. He's different. I mean, I don't know. It's like,
how tall is he? I think he's similar height.
Is he? I think he's like one of these 6'9 centers.
Yeah, well, that's what Tice is. Tice is 6'8.
Tice is 6'8?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yes.
Why do I feel like he's bigger?
He's not. I mean, again, they don't really have a big guy on the team. He's 6'9", Adebayo is. So he destroyed them in the game up there. So I think, you know, anything you gained in the middle up there, and you did, when they had Gasol on the floor, that was a liability. I don't know that you're going to get that in this series.
He's listed as, well, power forward, but he plays the 5 there. For
yeah,
them.
He does.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't feel that's why the Bucks lost. It was Adebayo. I mean, I think the Bucks are the reason the Bucks lost.
Yeah, sure.
They're not that great, and Miami shoots the lights out. And the Bucks are a very poor defending three-point team. They don't defend the three line very well, almost intentionally. Like, they're big guys, they sort of pack in, they protect the lane. And so they give up the three, which is, Miami's a bad team to give up the three to. I don't think the Celtics give up the three. They have good perimeter defense.
Excellent. One of the best in the league. Miami's good out there, too. I mean, again, I think they're really similar. They both, you know, they want to shoot a lot of threes. They want to defend the three. Their quote unquote big guy is a little bit more of an athletic 6'9 guy. They're very comparable in a lot of ways.
And like you said, Maz, too, Olynyk, you know, that's a threat. And Marcus Smart is not as tough as Goran Dragic. So.
There you go, Murray.
Brandon and Rainham. Go ahead, Brandon.
Dick.
Yeah, I think that it's Jaylen Brown that's the key to this series. It's not Kemba. It's not Jason. You know, they're going to drive the lane. They're going to kick to Brown. Brown's got to hit his threes. He had way too many open threes that he missed. It's about hitting your wide open shots in Brad's offense.
Okay, thanks for the call, Brandon. We're going to say goodbye to the simulcast audience as they go to their pregame show. Do you think Miami's going to do what Toronto did, which is say, go ahead, Jalen, you have the shot?
Maybe.
You have to beat us.
I mean, there's certain guys that you want to take out first if you're going to do that, and I think Tatum and Kemba are probably the best scorers that the Celtics have. So the question is, how does Miami do it with Kemba? And they're going to sacrifice something. So, you know, whether it's going to be Smart or Brown, one of those two at least. Brown had, Smart had a fabulous series. He made his shots. He, you know, all both ends of the floor. He was a huge impact. If that keeps up, they'll be in pretty good shape. And look, the danger I think Miami's going to run into is the Celtics. And Chris Mannix said this, and I think he's right. The Celtics can throw different guys at Butler. It can be Tatum, who's a little longer. Then they can put Brown on him, who's, you know, quick and positionally, like as sound as you're going to find. And then Smart, who can muscle him. So they can switch off there, and then one of those guys can go cover someone else.
I'm just telling you, shutting down Butler's not really the... You can shut him down.
Here's what I want to know is,
he's going to kick it to someone who's open, and those boys can shoot.
Okay, so here's what I want to know, though. If the Celtics can get the ball out of Butler's hands, where does Miami run the offense through? You follow me?
Yeah, Dragic.
Okay, so I want to see that.
They do.
I want to see it.
Because and he can shoot, and Hero can shoot, and Robinson can shoot, and Crowder can shoot. And so there's, if you take away Butler, which you can do, he kicks it to someone open, and they shoot the three, and they shoot it really
well. See, but I think the Celtics can defend Dragic one-on-one because they're more athletic than Milwaukee was on the perimeter. And so how does, you know, again, I just think Miami might, there might be stretches where Miami has a hard time scoring.
One more segment of your wonderful phone calls right after Murray's up.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Some might look at the way you guys played offensively yesterday and say that looked different in a lot of ways than what we've seen in the past couple decades, and maybe ask the question, how much did the Patriots sort of rip up the playbook and build a new one? How did you, like, is that exactly what happened, or how would you sort of answer that thought?
We always try to do what's best for the team to win, and you know, everything we've done for the last 20 years, and rightfully so, has been for Tom Brady. Everything was dedicated to him other than the games that he didn't play in, like you know, when Castle played, or Jimmy, and then Jacoby when Brady was suspended. So, you know, there were times when we had to plan differently, but you know, when your starting quarterback has things that he's good at or things that you can take advantage of, then I think you try to take advantage of them.
That is my favorite piece of sound from the day. It was yesterday, but, you know, I need a night to marinate, read it, print, and all of that. There's just a couple fold there. That's Belichick. Let me just translate. We don't rip up the playbook. We take whatever quarterback that we have, and we'll tailor some things to his strengths, but it's the system, not the player. Don't you get it, dummy? So whether it's Castle, Jimmy, or Jacoby, and I'm 15-6 with those guys. Did I mention that? 15-6 with quarterbacks other than Brady since 01. I'm now 15-6 without those guys. Yeah, we'll tailor it to them, but it's a system. It's not the player. Don't you get it? And, oh, by the way, Brady was suspended. He was suspended.
The reason Brady was suspended.
Yeah, we played Jimmy and Jacoby because Brady was suspended. Remember that? He was cheating. Deflated footballs, remember? Like, so even just the fact that Belichick let the words escape, that he had Brady in his mouth.
When Brady was suspended.
But Oh, never miss an opportunity, Bill, to let us know and remind us that Brady was suspended.
Brady was suspended.
Definitely an ulterior motive there.
I love it.
I mean, but really, like I told you, I was surprised he even mentioned him by name. I was surprised he even answered the question. Like, usually you get, look, we're just trying to do what's best for the team. Getting ready for Seattle. I'm playing Seattle this week. We're getting ready for Seattle. Right? Seriously, that's what you usually get. You get that crap.
Yes.
All of a sudden, it was.
When Brady was suspended.
Do you know why?
Because they won.
Because I'm 15-6 with other quarterbacks, and in case you forgot, Brady was suspended. That's why.
So listen, I disagree with you on.
He gets to scratch some itches there.
Totally. And listen, I disagree with you on Hoyer. Okay, but that's got to do with Hoyer, not with Bill.
I understand.
So
I hate to break it to you, Matt Cassel blows.
Well, I know.
11-5.
So, and that's fair. That's fair. Because I would tell you that. I've always said, I think Bill gets them to 10-6, 11-5. Brady puts them over the top.
Certainly.
That's how I feel about the marriage.
This is why I feel they would have been good this year, regardless of whether it was Stidham or Hoyer.
But Hoyer blows. So that's why I'm going with Hoyer. I'm going 7-9. But that said, there's no question. He knows what he's doing. Like, and so I. Oh, but he couldn't run to answer that question fast enough, could he? Oh, he was so ready to answer that.
When we had Castle, we were 11-5. And, you know, when we had Jacoby and Jimmy and they had to play because Brady was suspended, we went 3-1. And he's happy to answer that one.
Oh, Todd, the guy asked him the other day, you know, playing without fans. What was that like practice? Like practice. You jackass. What'd you ask that question for? So when he gets one he likes.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes him look good. Oh, he'll go on and on. He'll talk about Tom Brady by name. He'll mention the suspension.
When Brady was suspended.
As you pointed. Like, really?
So
he's
good.
So transparent like that. But, you know, who's going to doubt that he can win different ways? I mean, we all know he can do that. For sure. I mean, he can win with different ways with different people.
Has he ever mentioned the first round pick they lost in 2008 because of Spygate? Sorry, I got my cheating scandals mixed
up.
Got
your gates mixed up.
Yeah, has those words ever escaped his lips?
Not that I remember, no.
Yeah, you know, in 08, we had a few gaps because we lost a draft pick because I got caught cheating. But week one, he's asked about the quarterbacks. He goes back to Jimmy Garoppolo playing because Brady was suspended.
When Brady was suspended.
I love it. Love this story.
Oh, he's so transparent. It's unbelievable.
Matt in New Hampshire on the Patriots. What do you got, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? A couple weeks ago, I called and used some very salty language about the, my thoughts on the Patriots wide receiving core. So I'd like to retract that for any of the wide receivers, including Izzo, who's technically a tight end, except for N'Keal Harry. I mean, frankly, two plays on Sunday, the one where he wouldn't even truck stick the defender that he was, 30-plus pounds.
Right.
Yeah, 30-plus pounds overweight on, could even truck him. And then, obviously, the fumble near the end zone. Again, speculation of whether he was trying to reach with a left hand or not. It didn't look like it to me. But, you know, my point here is that I stick with my salty language about Harry, and it's mainly because I think the guy is just mentally washed at this point. I think he's reached a point in his tenure, and I know it's been very short, especially with the lack of games played. But, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so, I mean, how would we have any clue if N'Keal Harry's mentally washed or not? I'm just going to let you go, Matt. Thanks for the call. Like, no one's in the locker room to talk to him. No one can look in his eyes. He's done a couple of Zoom calls. I mean, I have no idea about that. Here's what I can tell you since I've been watching him now for a year plus. I don't know if he knows how to run a route. I don't know if he knows how to run routes, which is like something I think is kind of important for a wide receiver. I think he's big. He's physical. He's got some raw ability there. But I haven't really seen him run any routes.
No, and remember, during the offseason, he allegedly worked on his footwork.
Okay, so I don't see the footwork.
I don't see it even remotely close. He's kind of clumsy a little bit. And, you know, clumsy's too strong, but you know what I mean? It's not exactly smooth and put, and he's got zero quickness.
So, I mean, maybe he does suffer some confidence issues here with the slow start to his career, now fumbling through the end zone, and, like, that may happen, and maybe we'll see it. Right now, I just see a guy that doesn't really run any routes, and that's that. I like my receivers to run routes. But another thing Bedard mentioned is just, you know, it'd be nice when teams do start crowding the line to take away Newton and take away the read option in this sort of running game. You know, it's just an easy fix. You put eight in the box, you crowd the line, and you take that away, and then you start pressing the receivers. Who do they have to sort of get them off the line? And they don't really have anybody. That is true.
I mean, the guy would be Bird in theory.
He played 63 snaps and not one target, right? Something like that. Yeah.
Was he out there for that many of them?
I don't know if it was 63, but he played like 95% of the snaps, and I don't think Newton ever looked at him.
Holy crap. I didn't realize it was that many.
Is that true? It was.
I don't know if it was that high, but he was out there a fair amount.
It's
just frustrating to see, and if there's numbers that you could look at throughout the league, of all these other guys that were drafted after him, N'Keal Harry I'm talking about, it's just he whiffed. Bill whiffed. I don't know if he thought it was a reach. I just don't understand what he saw in this kid to justify where he got selected, especially comparing it to guys not just like DK Metcalf. If you watch any of the Giants game against Pittsburgh last night, there's a guy like Darius Slayton who the Giants got in the fifth round, went off for over 100 yards. Like, who's the guy, Terry McLaurin, that the Washington Redskins got? I think it was in the third round. Like, there's so many better receivers that went after him. Brown with Tennessee.
Just think what Bill would do if he had a good GM. He played 56 snaps. 88%.
Wow.
He was out there the whole game.
I didn't realize it was that many.
I never saw him.
I thought he vanished after that punt. I thought that was the end of that.
He had two special team snaps, so they did let him back out there for another.
it was a punt cover.
That Scotty Miller, who Brady's going to turn into like Edelman or Welker Light, sixth round, that same draft.
So, right, that's right.
Here we go. We got Adam in the car with the X Factor in the Celtics series. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, guys. I think the X Factor starts and ends with Bam Adebayo. He does so much for that team, initiating the offense. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets like a 20-12 and 6-assist sort of game. If you can stop him, then the series is all yours. And real quickly, their guards are nothing like Toronto. You could attack those guys, and I don't know how they would respond easily.
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
So nothing like them defensively. Absolutely. I've been saying that from day one. Walker should be able to get his on offense. He should be able to take Dragic, take Hero, take whoever is out there, Robinson, who's ever out there. He should be able to take him. This should become a Walker series. Adebayo, you know, maybe it was just my head was ringing with so much other stuff that I didn't feel like he was the key in that Bucks series. But, I mean, well, let's find out about him. How about Harry and Swansea on the Celts? Go ahead, Harry.
The Celtics. Marcus Smart, to me, is always going to be the key. He was the key in the last series, winning that game, blocking that shot. My problem with Jaylen Brown is, like you guys hit my thunder before, about him not being a facilitator. I would think, after watching this guy for a few years, I would think that he would learn how to be more of a facilitator and grow into that role. But I haven't seen him grow into that role at all. He seems to be stuck in time, stuck at a level where there are some upside, but his upside seems to be like a low escalator, a slow escalator.
Well, that's his third year. I mean, it's his third year, Harry. But I mean, I think he's...
Yeah, but don't you think he should be able to dish the ball off a little bit?
Yep. And if that doesn't... get back to me in another year or two. If he's still not doing it, then we can say... But, like, I think his handle has improved tremendously.
Yes.
Remember when Brown could not...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Every other dribble was off his freaking knee.
Yes.
Like, I think his handle's improved tremendously, and I think his shot has improved.
Definitely. No question about it.
His pocket gets picked a little too much for my liking still, though. He gets the ball stolen from him. Like, the handle has gotten better, but every once in a while, like, too loose.
So the one that's bothered me there is Tatum.
Yeah, he is. Yes.
I mean, he's losing the ball at key times, too. And you know what? He's not exactly protecting it. I mean, the ball's right out there for someone to just swipe at and take away. And if you remember earlier in the year, when they were on that West Coast trip and he had that great run, he was handling the ball so smoothly and fluidly and protecting it. Now it's right out there. And this is happening at the end of the game. So how do you explain that? Like, I think he's just cracking.
Well, not quite ready.
Yes.
Like, that's
so, you know, he's leaving the ball exposed. Someone else's intensity is at a peak, and they're taking the ball away from him. That can't happen at the end of the game like that.
Nevin in the car. Go ahead, Nevin. You're up next.
Hey, guys. Just two quick C's points. I think Goran Dragic pretty much is Kyle Lowry without the ass and elbows. And I want to see what you guys think about Robert Williams and his Kanter, who we're going to go with. They kind of been split throughout the series so far. Philly saw more Kanter. And the other team I can't think of right now saw a little more Williams. Like, see what you think. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Okay. You care about Kanter?
No. No, again, I think that's a horrible matchup for Adebayo. I think that he would eat him alive. And so he's just way too athletic for Kanter. Now, at the other end of the floor, I don't know how Kanter, I think, he has trouble getting his shot off. So, look, this is a good test for Robert Williams. This is the kind of series that now you're seeing someone who's athletic. It's not going to be Marcus Gasol. It's not going to just be alley-oops. You get a guy who can contest it. And so let's see if he can give him something. I think in terms of the Celtics' depth or lack thereof, If Williams can give him something in this series, that's a big help.
So Dragic is Lowry without the ass and the elbows. Well, that's like 90% of Kyle Lowry. Until you get to the final 2 minutes, here's the big difference between the two players. For me, I don't want Lowry taking the last shot if I'm the Celtics. I want Dragic taking the last shot.
Yeah, see, Lowry scares me too. Like, Lowry's clutch.
Dragic can take that last shot. He can take the shots inside of 2 minutes. Go ahead, go nuts.
So when you watch Lowry at the end of the games, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, I'm just talking, just for the sake of discussion, for the listener.
I think something good's going to happen.
For the listener, watch the poise in the final 2 minutes. Does he look rattled? Is he rushing? Is the ball protected? You know, or is he just kind of easing his way in, waiting for the guy to create an opening, and then boom, there's the shot.
Yeah.
So that's a veteran guy that knows how to close a game, who's been on a championship team, even if he wasn't the superstar, who knows what he's doing at the end of the game. That's what it looks like.
Is Olynyk like that too, Miz?
Celtics pregame coming up in just over 9 minutes. They tip the ball shortly after 6:40 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Don't leave your radio. The final word comes your way next.
Boston's home for sports.
Hey, it's Felger here. You don't need...
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Greg Bernard, Boston Sports Journal, in for a big boy Tuesday, which means we get the 10 questions, all which right. means we get the 10 questions recap from Hardy, which goes like this.
Okay, here we go.
Love also, this. It's
what, Maz? What? Well, I can't hear you.
It would help if your mic was on.
What 1-0 team, Greg, do you believe in the least?
The Chicago Bears. I'm sorry. They stink.
Which 0-1 team do you believe in the most? 0-1 team.
49ers. It wasn't good.
Who has the most to worry about? The Jets with Sam Darnold, the Giants with Dan Jones, or the Colts with Phillip Rivers?
The Colts. I mean, they're done.
After 1 week, what's looking like the best personnel move in the NFL?
I'm going to let Murray go before me.
I'm surprised that you did that.
Why?
It's just not like you. Week one tool bag. Who was the biggest tool bag in the NFL in week one, Greg Bedard?
Matt Patricia. That was just...
He's a clown. He's a clown and a boob.
Matt Patricia.
He's a clown.
Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia.
Oh, the guy is such a douchebag. And look, I don't mean to be a fattest, but also look at the guy.
Hey.
Why is everybody always picking on me?
Look at the guy. Best new uniforms in the league and worst new uniforms in the league. Go.
No, I didn't see the best.
The Rams and the Chargers. Great, great, great. The worst by far... The Patriots. Oh, God. He's a bunch of blueberries running around out there. You're a freaking mess. You're a disaster.
Hey.
When I said that about Patricia, Bedard did take that personally.
He did, yeah. No, you get a little offended by
that. But it's
that.
Not just heavy, okay? You know, we all battle weight every now and then.
Oh, he's unshaven.
He's just bathe. Yeah.
Unkempt.
He is unkempt. Like, dude, take a bath. Mix in a salad, get a grip on yourself.
He's a slob.
And drop your freaking attitude. Where does that attitude come from?
Foxborough.
Oh, yeah.
Because he sniffed Belichick's farts for 7 years down here and was Bill's bitch for a couple of years?
Like osmosis.
Like, where's that attitude come from? He offends me.
He should offend you.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.